Morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. I'm kind of standing in for Chad this morning. I got some big shoes to fill. I don't have long pants to fill, but I do have some big shoes. Now, if I want him to know I said that, let me be the one to tell him, okay? But we want to welcome you here this morning. We have a Brother Terry's going to be bringing the message later on. But I wanted to go ahead and get our announcements out of the way. Just wanted to make everybody aware of our youth bake sale, April 28th. We'll have a church-wide cleanup day on April 28th. The way I understand it, have we canceled our spring fling? Who's in charge of that? That's been canceled, so we're not going to have the spring fling there. The Ark Experience, there's a group going to Kentucky, I think, for the Ark Experience on June 7th and 9th, June 7th through the 9th. So if you're part of that group, be sure you get your money in or whoever you got a seat. Sign up in the back. Thanks, Kim. All right. By way of announcements, that's all I see. VBS, June 24th through the 29th. Okay. Good deal. Well, let's remember Brother Chad and Stephanie as they're kind of on a vacation this week and weekend. I think they're down in Key West. Keith talked to them this morning. I know they're sacrificing for us. Down there having a good time, but that's good for him. He does a good job. Is there any other prayer requests that we need to? John. Right, Mr. Houston Jones passed away this weekend. Just remember them, great man. And Les is the pastor of the Heritage Baptist Church, I think. So just remember that family. Anyone else? Okay. If not, Keith, would you take us to the Lord in prayer?
Our Father, we are so thankful for a time that we can come together and just call upon your name. Father, you've heard these needs, these prayer requests. Father, I pray for each individual. We just lift them up to you. Father, we pray that you would be with them, be with their families, just comfort them as they go through these trying times. Again, our Father, we just thank you for the many blessings of life, and we just continue to pray for Chad and Stephanie as they are away. And Father, we just thank you for Terry as he is going to bring the message. Again, our Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done and what you're going to do for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
There is a river of gladness from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can be seated. One of the announcements that I failed to make was that we will not be having services tonight. So we'll give you, in honor of Chad and Stephanie's vacation, we'll give you a night off too. So we're in for a treat this morning. Brother Terry McElroy will be bringing the message. Brother Terry has been knowing him for a long time. He's just been called to preach, and we've heard a few of his messages here, and they are they're very exciting and very uplifting. So, Brother Terry, if you'll come and just bring the message and close out every how you see fit.
Well, thanks to everybody for being here, even though you knew I'd be here. You know, the words in that song that we sang, pretty fitting. I owe all to you. Meaning Jesus, of course. I know a lot of people look at me, I'm sure, and say, well, man, you're an old man. You just got called to the preaching? I was in a place here a week or two ago, and several men were there. It was only men. And they were talking, and one of them said, well, I've heard something about you. I said, well, what's that? He said, I heard you started preaching. I said, yeah, I did. I said, I was afraid not to answer the call because I've seen it happen to people who didn't answer the call of God. And it's not very nice to put it lightly. And he told me of a man he knew one time that was called to preach. The man said he was called to preach, and he refused it. And he was a sort of a babbling idiot that walked up and down the street from then on. I don't think that anything like that would have happened to me. I don't think that at all, because I know Christ. But the reason I answered the call is because he called me and he asked me to do it. How could I refuse? So I didn't. The name of this sermon, if it has a name, is Drawing People to Faith. Scripture comes from John 6, 41, 44. And there'll be others too, but I think they're going to put that one up for us. It's a well-known scripture, I'm sure. John is very well-known, of course. 6:41. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's pray, please. Father, we bow before you this morning to thank you for your word and lift your great holy name up and honor you and worship you. And we pray, Father, that you will give us the insight that we need into this scripture. Give us the insight into this word that you have given us to expound and to give to others. In Jesus' name, amen. John is a very powerful, it's a powerful book. You know, it starts out telling us exactly who Jesus is and what he did. How he came about. And who in relation to the Father that Jesus is and the Holy Spirit. We know that we worship a triune God. We call him triune because he consists of three persons. And the three persons are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they are distinct persons, but they are one God. And they have given us information. God gave us this word to study, to have a greater understanding of who he is. And we know that he gave us this word so that we could have understanding of who he is. And we cannot jump to any conclusion, and we cannot think something is correct if it's not written in this word. Now, there are a lot of people over the country who try to do that. They want to do that. I used to go to Atlanta all the time when I was in the welding supply business and haul acetylene from there. And there was two men there that I talked to a lot about Christ, about God. And their word was always, there's too many contradictions in the Bible. It contradicts itself all the time. Well, there's not one word that contradicts itself in the Bible. The Bible interprets itself. But we can't draw the conclusion. Excuse me. Without of one verse, without using all verses in the Bible to establish what that verse is trying to tell us. Can't take verses out of context and say, well, this what this says, that's all you can go by. The Bible interprets itself and its truth throughout. From Genesis to Revelation. In 6:41-44, when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, and we don't know if there were anybody but men there, the Bible doesn't say, but if there were, there may have been as many as 15,000. But anyway, that's irrelevant. They did not understand what Jesus was saying and claiming for himself. Jesus, right here in this part of the Bible, after he fed, when he was about to feed the 5,000, he was about to explain who he was and what he was. He fed the 5,000 with, what was it, two or three loaves of bread and a few fishes, two or three. He broke that bread and it fed every one of them, ever how many there was, 5,000 or 15,000, it doesn't matter. But he started to tell them then that he came down from heaven. He was a bread of life. He said, I'm that bread that you have to eat of or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And they started to grumble. What does that tell you? They had seen what he had done. He took that little bit of food and he made it to feed as many as 15,000. That they didn't believe. Why did they not believe? that's as much proof as you could possibly need, it looks to me like. Of course, there are several reasons. It wasn't the time. Now, God's time is perfect. It's never been off a millisecond. Ever. And it'll never be off. When it comes time for him to come, he'll be back. Don't worry. We don't have to try to predict the day, the time, the minute, the second, the hour, whatever. We don't have to predict that because he will be back at exactly the right time that he already knows what it is. And he has seen fit not to tell us. We can speculate all we want to, but that's not going to be correct because he's chosen not to tell us. But we see that they started to grumble because he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be that bread of life that every person needs. They didn't like that. They wanted him to be another Moses who came in and got them out from under the Roman rule. That's what they wanted. But that wasn't what Jesus came for. And another reason that they couldn't understand is there was no Holy Spirit here then. Christ was here, and he never spoke any word that wasn't truth. He never committed a sin, but they did not understand. And of course, they did not fully understand who his parents were. They were thinking of Joseph and Mary being his earthly parents, and they thought Joseph was his father. And of course, we know better. We know that God the Father himself, through the Holy Spirit, impregnated Mary. And the God-man came to us in a baby. We worship that every year at Christmas. We understand that. We know that. The Holy Spirit has come to this earth, and he indwells the heart of every person who knows him. And he has to make that call to us. That's why I call it drawing people to faith. It's a dangerous thing to feel the call of God and not respond to it. Well, nobody in this room or nobody in the world knows how many times God's going to call you. We don't know that. So don't ever do that. If God's touching your heart in a way to move you in some way, don't resist it. Don't do that. You know, one day the time will come when Jesus comes back. And you know, we always talk about the resurrection. And when the first thought that comes to our mind when we think of the resurrection is the resurrection of Christ. He had to be resurrected from death, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. And he wouldn't have indwelled our heart. And we wouldn't be saved if that had not taken place. He had to get up on, he had to allow himself, and he's the one that allowed it. They didn't take him. He could have called out 10,000 angels, and they would have taken him up, believe it. But he had to get up on that cross they nailed him to, and then they pushed it up, and it hit the ground, and it was of God that he wasn't torn loose from it. He was beaten in the back so that his back looked like hamburger meat. He made that sacrifice for us. We always think of that as the resurrection. But when he comes back, and as some have said, when the trumpet sounds, there's going to be two resurrections. It's sad about one of them. Those who are in Christ are going to be resurrected. And those who are not in Christ are going to be resurrected. All are going to come up out of the grave. Everybody. Those who know Christ and those who don't. Two resurrections. And those who don't know Christ are going to the white throne judgment, and they're going to be judged and thrown into hell. The Bible teaches that. It's not pleasant. Like Chad says every once in a while, we don't like to think about hell. But it's the truth. The Bible speaks of it all the time, all through it. What we love to speak about and what we love to believe and what we all do believe as Christians is that in that resurrection of those who know Christ, that's what we look forward to. Because we all know that we're going to die. Unless he comes back before. We're all going to face death unless he comes back. And we don't have to go through that resurrection. We will still go through it in a way. But all of those laying out there in those graves that knew Christ, they're going to be resurrected to Him and go to the judgment seat of Christ. And He, and all the things that we did, it'll be brought forth. He'll know it. And He'll tell us about it. But you know what else it says? He'll dry our tears. We're not going to be happy with what we did after we became a Christian. Everything. Because we still sin. And we fall short. We don't like to do that. It's like Paul said, I do things I don't want to do. And we fall short of the glory of God. Every day we do it. Anybody who says they don't, they're wrong. Because without Him, we're lost in sin. With Him, we're in sin, but we know Him. And He touches our heart. He draws us to Himself in every situation. And He says, Terry, why did you do that? And I get down on my knees and I ask Him to forgive me, touch my heart, draw me away from that. Lord, I don't want to do that. But He was telling the people who were following Him around at that time. Now, the reason they were following Him around is because they were getting fed. Not spiritual food. They were getting fed that too, but they were getting physical food to eat. No, yeah, they followed Him around. And but then when He started to tell them who He truly was, they started to grumble. And they didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't believe that. Because they wanted Him to be the one that would rescue them from the Roman Empire. That's the bottom line. They wanted bread, but not the bread that Jesus was offering. To make the point clear, Jesus revealed Himself as the living bread. There was no question about what he was there for. He was the living bread that everyone must eat, so to speak, to become a Christian. It's only through Christ. There's no other way. There are many false religions now that try to paint another picture. And we're being overrun by Muslims now in this country, and other countries have already been overrun by them. They come in a very subtle way. They're nice. They don't want to interfere with anything. But, yes, they are against Christ. I don't care what they say, they are. Some of them are peaceful, and that's okay. But they're not for Christ. They're against Christ. And that does not mean that we can do like they do. We still have to show the love of Christ to them, and there will be some who come to know Him as a result of that. When He was talking to them about being the bread, He was not talking about the physical sustenance at all, but about being God's gift of eternal life. The bread of life. He is the gift of eternal life. It can come only through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, after God softens the heart. Our heart's like a rock until the Holy Spirit softens it. We can't come to Christ. In and of ourselves, we do not have that ability. Our heart's like a rock. The Bible speaks of that. Until it's softened by the Holy Spirit, then He gives us the opportunity. Not everyone whose heart is softened will take that opportunity. But God the Father says, none that I have given my Son Jesus will be lost. Not one. And Jesus says that Himself. None that the Father have given me will I lose. And that's goes back to this title. They will be drawn, all of those that God has given Jesus to be his own. It's very important to understand that the gift of God of eternal life is Jesus Christ himself. He is the bread that was sent by God for us to eat and receive him as Christ and Savior. There is no other way. Some of the crowd, they started to understand what he was saying. They started to understand the claim that he was God. That's when they started to grumble. They didn't want that. And you just have to wonder, there they were, all of those people in the presence of God himself, and they didn't understand. They didn't understand who he was. And when he told them, and they got a little glimpse into the understanding, they rejected it. And why? Why is that? Why do you think that happened? Well, to me, it further substantiates the fact that God must touch your heart before you can come to Christ. God must touch anybody's heart before they can come to Christ, because these people were right in his presence. They were in his presence and they rejected him. They didn't believe what he was saying. Even when he told them, they didn't believe it. They still wanted him to be the one that rescued them from the Romans. They didn't know the whole story about his parentage. They didn't know that he was the Son of God, and it had not been revealed to them. God chose not to reveal it to them. I don't have the answer why. I don't know why. That's God's business. We do not know, as Christians, as non-Christians, nobody in this room knows who for sure is going to get saved. We don't know that. But God knows. He knows everything. There's nothing that he does not know. And we proclaim that. We bow down to him and we pray to him and we ask him for things. And the Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man, righteous person, availeth much. Prayer is worth praying. It's worth praying. Because that's our channel to God. We pray to him. He answers prayers. And prayer changes things. It changes things in a person's life that only God can change. We bring our children, we start bringing our children to church when they're little bitty. They don't understand hardly anything. We bring them to church because we want them to know about Jesus. And that's the way they find out. They see Jesus in other people's lives. They see Jesus in how people act. They see Jesus in Sunday school teachers. We want them to see him when we have Bible school. We want him to see Jesus in our lives, the way we live, the way we act. Whether we're working or what we're doing, we don't want our lives to change just because we come to church and live a different lifestyle outside of church. We want our lives to count for him wherever we go and whoever sees us. That's our desire when we become a Christian, is to please him. We want to please him. We want to do everything he wants us to do. We fall short. Anybody that says they don't, they kind of fooling themselves. We can never live up to the perfect standard of Christ. He was perfect. You ever thought about that and tried to analyze how he could be perfect? It was only by the power of God himself, him being God, that he could do that. But he lived a perfect life, and he stayed so close to the Father. You know, all through the a New Testament reread where he would be absent from his disciples for long periods of time. He was communing with the Father at that time. He was in prayer with the Father, communing. He stayed close to the Father so that he would not commit any sin. And he didn't. That's how he did it. The drawing, we see that in sometime when you get a chance or this afternoon or whenever you want to, read John 1, 1 through 18. That tells you who Jesus is. That gives us the true definition of Jesus. I'll just read just a little bit of it just to John 1, 118. It says, now this was, we all know what the beginning is. Beginning means there was nothing before. And we can't even get our mind around nothing, hardly. Can't imagine it. All we was, we more think of pitch, midnight, dark, that's something. But when there was nothing, that means there was nothing. So there had to be a beginning. And it, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Who is the Word? Christ. He was with God. And the Word was God. The Word, Jesus, was as much God as God the Father was God. And God the Holy Spirit is God. They're all three the same. They're equal, yet they're separate. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him and without him, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that's one of the most enlightening scriptures there is. Jesus was there with God in the beginning. And through him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, everything was made. Through Jesus, everything was made by the power of the Holy Spirit. He called everything into being. He's all powerful. There's nothing that he can't do. That's why that it's dangerous to reject the call that he may have and touching a heart and not responding. It's dangerous. Don't do it. In our natural state, we're completely unwilling and morally incapable of coming to God. We don't have that ability. Until the Spirit touches our heart, we can't do it. We understand that is why we bring our children, babies, and anyone else to hear the Word. He must effectively touch our hearts to draw us to himself. And that's why we come to church. That's why we bring those that are lost. That's why we tell. That's one of the big reasons. The other reason that we come to church is, of course, to worship him. Christians, we want to worship Christ because of what he did for us. We want to worship God because of this great plan that he figured out in eternity past and it will be carried out on in the future, and he will come back one day. He's coming. There'll be no those that know him when he comes back, and there'll be those that don't. Don't be in that group that don't know him. Be in the group that knows him. We all have the opportunity. Take advantage of it. I've heard Chad say a lot of times, I'm glad we're not robots. We can make that choice ourselves and choose to be his. That's what we want to do. Today I'm going to ask if there's anybody here that would like to come to the altar. If you do, whoever wants to, can you play? It's okay if you don't want to, but if you do, right now is the opportunity to do it. I do thank y'all for listening. I hope that you gained a little bit more understanding. When I was studying this, I sure did. It's a great part of the Bible that we all love. A greater understanding of Christ is what we all want after we become a Christian. And those who are not Christians, if you feel that touch, come today and come to know Him. And it's a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But the one thing you have to do is ask Him to come into your heart. He's not going to force His way in. That's not what He's all about. So come if you'd like to meet Him. For listening. Thank you all for being here. And let's see, I guess our next action is to have our offering.